We're going to have a meeting because this has become a week of just to make fun of everything Greeny does. So, Harry, the staff wants me to ask you you think of my move.
It's a little better than last week, but each week we have to continue to work on, you know, your back bend a little bit. You got to put your back into it. You can do it, Greeny. Put your back into it.
See, I could do it, but
gonna pull something.
What you're missing is that there are parts of me that just don't move that way, right? I mean, I just can't.
Just be arms.
It's just all arms.
Also, so the arms just go straight back. They don't go round. They don't go around your body. They go straight back. It's supposed to go straight back.
Like, I live in a van.
Down by the river. That's exactly right. I am a motivational speaker.
You know, like, there's stereotypes that get...
Yeah,
you're not.
I live up to that one.
No, that's exactly right. No,
you can say it. I'm the whitest person in the world. Go ahead and say it. All right. With that, we are back. We are live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose, and I will continue to be immobile as we continue this hour with bold predictions heading into week 5. Here we go. Kmart, huge week. Give me a bold prediction.
Greeny, you're going to love this. I predict that Zach Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett will get the last laugh against Sean Payton. He did all that smack talking, but Zach is back, and he's going to tell Sean Payton that he's whack. Is that how you do it? Yeah, I've been
gentle with him. Zach back going to go on the attack, and we'll see what he's able to do against on behalf of Hack. D Wood, give me a bold prediction.
Man, how about Zach Dub throwing 4 tutties in the game? How about that?
Okay.
Listen, coming off that game, going up against Pat Mahomes, outplaying him on Sunday Night Football, goes up against the Denver Broncos defense, one of the worst defense. Yeah, why not? Why not throw 4 tutties in a game?
Zach Dub throwing 4 tutties.
Yeah.
I like everything about it. Harry, give me a bold prediction for this weekend.
I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars in London beating the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have to go over and travel across the pond. The Jacksonville Jaguars just stayed there because they played their last.
Wow.
Also, they're coming off a big win versus the Miami Dolphins. So I'm going with Jacksonville. They haven't put together a stellar performance offensively this year. I think this is the week that they get to do it.
That's pretty bold. Not
that
bad.
Is
I like that as a bold prediction. Dan, you were there to watch Jacksonville last week against Atlanta. We'll see if they can back it up. In the meantime, I'm going to make a bold prediction. Everyone in the world is going to judge everything Dak Prescott does this week against a San Francisco defense that might be the best in the NFL. And if you don't believe me, Dan is going to show you why.
And it's going to be about Dak Prescott and his teammates. Now, San Francisco's defense, very talented, but 3 things that make them the best defense in the NFL right now. 1, they run to the football. 2, they never lose leverage. And 3, they tackle incredibly well. That's why they lead the NFL and when it comes to yards after catch given up. Now, this plays the perfect example of what it means. Okay, so Arizona last week is going to dump the football off right now. And San Francisco's defense has got 1, 2, 3 cats that are running to the football as fast as they can. But this is a decent check down. We got our tail back. Now, here's what stands out to me, Greeny. This ball's caught right around like the 14-yard line, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And these guys are on the 22, 23-yard line. So we're 8, 9 yards away from that ball carrier with the blocker up front. Like, we feel okay. Now, 3 things at home for everyone to watch. Watch how these guys just run with speed to the football, okay? Look at the speed and the burst that all 3 of them run to the football. 2, I just talked about leverage. This is what's so hard for an offense. If you're Dallas and this is, you know, Tony Pollard or CeeDee Lamb, Gibson does a tremendous job of staying outside. You're not running to the sideline. He keeps that leverage outside because what's coming? Fred Warner and Greenlaw are firing to the football. So speed to the ball, they keep leverage, and then watch how good a unit they are tackling-wise. So he caught that ball at, the 14-yard line?
Yep.
And he gets to essentially the 19 or 20-yard line. So only 4 or 5 yards. See it full speed again. This is a group that is tremendous when it comes to yards after the catch. Dallas does a pretty good job of that. But they're such consistently when it comes to consistency, San Francisco's defense, that's going to be, they give up 3 yards per after yards after the catch. So if Dallas is going to win this football game, they've got to win that. It's going to have to be a Tony Pollard or a CD or a Ferguson or a Gallup breaking some of those tackles, easier said than done versus San Francisco.
Well, I think the point that you're making that I took from that is the Cardinals ran a pretty good play. They had a lot of things that were going well.
4 yards.
And the 49ers just absolutely shut it down. That's one of the things that makes them so good. In the meantime, all eyes on Dak, all ears on Dak, all attention on Dak. And if you don't believe me, listen to Micah Parsons yesterday.
Yesterday, 10, 11-year-olds were like, do you like Dak? He throws interceptions. I was like, what the hell? Like, I said, parents, y'all got to get them from Twitter. Like, yeah. You know, it's just – so, you know, y'all got to realize the influence that you guys have in these platforms because, listen, I don't want no 10-year-old telling me that my quarterback stinks. Like, you know, so.
So while he was talking, D. Wood just said, man, this is good sound. What was your reaction to that?
Because it sounds just like my 11-year-old. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan. And he, like, asked me, like, Dad, you think Dak's going to play all right this weekend? I'm like, we'll see some. We'll see how Dak Prescott going to play.
Go ahead.
But I think that's what he just said. That's the question. Like, the fact that you're sort of like, can Dak play better? We'll see. We don't know. Yeah. We hope, but we'll see. The same way you talk about Josh Allen, we talk about these quarterbacks, like, yeah, I have confidence. I could say it. You just don't know as Dak.
Is it fair for us to make this all about Dak? The 49ers have a ton of really good players. Cowboys have a ton of really good players. Mm-hmm. They're a team that's built at this moment in time as much, at least, if not more, on their defense than their offense. So if dopey talk show hosts like me sit here and spend the whole week trying to make this game about Dak Prescott, is that right?
It might not be right, but it's fair,
yeah.
Right? Because I think it's the big moments that we talk about with Dak Prescott. We know Dak Prescott is a good quarterback in the National Football League, but I think the moments that he's had and the biggest moments he hasn't been. And I think that's why we continuously have these conversations. I do agree, like, the defense has to stop the run. The San Francisco 49ers rush the football very effectively. So that's a component of this ball game that has to be looked at. But for Dak Prescott, this is that moment. He has to be better than Brock Purdy. If not, then it.
Well, what if he is? Question. What if Dak outplays Brock Purdy, but they don't win?
But I think if Dak plays well, they win the football game.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, because you know,
earlier we talked about we talk about the 49ers offense. Who are you going to stop? Are you going to stop Kittle? Are you going to stop Ayuk? Are you going to stop who?
But here's the thing, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Cowboys defense in the playoffs last year, they played well.
Yeah, they did.
They played well. The whole question of if Dak Prescott plays well, the Dallas Cowboys will win that game because their defense is up for the challenge.
It's not even play well. Don't play bad.
Yeah.
The past two times he's seen San Francisco, he's played poorly. He's been terrible on third down when it comes. It's become a passing situation. If Dak outplays Brock Purdy, they'll win. Because these two teams are so evenly keeled. Now, that's going to be easier said than done, though. Because the reality is Brock Purdy don't give the ball away.
Right.
Brock Purdy is wildly efficient. Brock Purdy makes sure that he doesn't hold on to the football. So, and one of the things is Kyle Shanahan's going to go, Micah Parsons, we're going to run right at you. Mm-hmm. Micah didn't have sack the two times that these teams have been in the playoffs. We're going to run the football right at you, and we're not going to let the pass rush that you excel at be part of the conversation. Right.
Something literally just jumped into my head, and so I'm going to ask this question aloud. Hembo over there, I don't know how quickly we can come up with this, but this is what just dawned on me. San Francisco's defense is so good. We're sitting here talking about Dak's struggles against them. To what degree does every quarterback struggle against them? Which is to say, they win a lot of playoff games. They held Aaron Rodgers to nothing at home in a playoff game the following week after the first year that they beat Dallas when Dak didn't get the playoff. Mm-hmm. And then last year, this team wins playoff games by being great on defense.
Yeah.
They make all quarterbacks have games that are worse than their usual. I wonder if there's some way that we can contextualize.
To quantify
again,
how I'm good San Francisco's defense is?
Or how much worse Dak is against them than anybody else. You know what I mean? It's not just him.
Right.
They make every quarterback play their worst game.
Absolutely fair. But just like I said, it was fair for us to expect Daniel Jones to play better on Monday Night Football. It is absolutely fair for us to expect Dak Prescott play an elite level game against an elite level defense. That's okay nowadays. We can't always kind of asterisk like, oh man, he played against a good defense. He's been around long enough. He's played enough football. They got a good enough offensive line. They got good enough skill people. He's got a new play caller to expect Dak to play well. Couple things. Number one, I think he should live throwing the football to the left, Greeny. I think if he watches the same tape as me and we're watching San Francisco's defense, you have a tremendous amount of respect for it. But I'm throwing the football to the left. because Charvarius Ward to the right is playing top three, top five corner level.
Let me chime in real quick on that, because I think that was one of the most underrated signings for the San Francisco 49ers last year.
Ward.
Because he's a guy, Charvarius Ward. He's a guy that came from Kansas City in the Steve Spagnuolo defensive system, who loves the blitz, loved to play man coverage, so they added another component to their defense, a guy that's going to be physical in press coverage. So I do agree with you in that capacity.
Absolutely. Live the left. You know the second thing that's going to have to be a storyline in this game if Dallas wants to win?
Yeah.
Unsolicited. When we talk about Patrick in big games, when we talk about Joe Burrow in big games, Josh Allen in big games, what's something like under the weeds that they do in big moments?
They use their legs.
Yep.
They use their legs. If you go back,
do that.
Not anymore.
Exactly.
So it's not, and I'm not talking design stuff. I'm talking
improvising.
Third and six.
Run for it. Go get it. Yep.
We haven't.
And in the red zone too.
And if you go back and watch San Francisco's defense this year, not a ton of moments, and specifically last week with Josh Dobbs, that showed up and it hurt their defense a little bit. I don't think it's unrealistic. Josh Dobbs played well against San Francisco's defense last week.
Yeah.
It's not fair for us to say that we want Dak to play better than that.
Yeah.
Come on.
But I mean, you know what?
That's okay for us to say.
But you know what, Greeny? You know, we talk about Dak Prescott going against the 49ers defense, but Brock Purdy is going up against an elite defense as well in the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Look, Hembo got the stat.
Okay. And Hembo's showing you why he's the best in the business at what he does.
Yep.
Look at that. So I stand, I'm not necessarily corrected, but I stand informed, and so do you. The numbers do show he has been worse.
And all others means all other quarterbacks.
All
right?
Other quarterbacks against the Niners in the playoffs the last two seasons, in which they have knocked out the Cowboys each of those seasons. So if you think about who those quarterbacks were, just doing this off the top of my head, it was Matt Stafford.
It was Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
It was Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts. There you go. And again, the Jalen Hurts game, you almost want to throw that game out.
Because
the 49ers didn't even have a quarterback by the time they got to halftime.
But the thing is though, it's not like Dak didn't have the plays to make.
Right.
You just got to make your layups. You got to make the plays when they present themselves.
Well, that tells the story. You know what? That's why I'm glad we did that. That stat tells the story. And again, I apologize that we did it live on the air, but it just occurred to me.
Great.
The reality of it is, yes, he has been more affected by that defense than everyone else. Yes, the other quarterbacks have played better, which I think answers the question, yes, it is reasonable to ask him to be better than that.
Absolutely. Him and CeeDee Lamb, I'd say, Greeny. Like, him and a lot of, there's a lot of, like, who wins in this game. It's Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk, who has become a number one NFL wideout, making big plays versus Dak and CeeDee Lamb. And that's, Dak is going to have to hit three or four throws down the field to CeeDee Lamb in this game for Dallas to win.
Well, my thing is, isn't this the reason why you go out and trade for Brandon Cooks?
Part of it, absolutely.
You know, when we talked last year, one of the stats that we talked about last year with Dak Prescott,
he had separation.
Outside of CeeDee Lamb, they had no receivers that could separate. That's why you traded for Brandon Cooks.
Right.
So you would think you go get a bona fide, you know, receiver in Brandon Cooks. That should help CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no excuse why CeeDee Lamb shouldn't have a hell of a day going up against that defense.
This is the NFL game of the season so far. There'll be plenty more to come, and there have been some really good ones and games that felt big. Nothing has felt as big as this does. Yes, sir.
I'll be watching.
Hey, those are good on you.
It's a lot of medicine in those.
I don't know why I needed my glasses, but I like.
He said a lot of medicine.
As we continue, more quarterback conversation. Zach Wilson saved his career last week, but Orlovsky is going to tell you why this week's game is even bigger. Plus, the Bears' season may already be over, but Dan's going to tell you why Justin Fields has everything to play for tonight. All that and a whole lot more as we take a close look at the NFL schedule.
You look like Stephon.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back.
We are back. I need to see this in
real
time. Wow. We try and come up with a different wood-based pun. And this week, it's firewood. That's a great-looking graphic we got built for you there. All right, D-Wood, who are we firing on today? How about the Jets' offensive line?
Yeah, usually, Greeny, with these firewood segments, is all negative. But how about we go to positive with the Jets' offensive line?
Fired up.
Listen, I'm fired up about the Jets' offensive line. Listen, they made a change in week 3. You know, they're already going that third week together. They're actually turning the corner up front. So as long as they continue to do that, this team will have a shot. Yes. Now on the flip side, Lord have mercy, this Giants offensive line, you're talking about, this is just an organizational disaster with the New York football Giants. They've been trying to figure this offensive line out since I was in the league. They still haven't figured out the offensive line. Go out there on Monday Night Football and get embarrassed. 11 sacks. I don't think that's ever happened to me in my playing career.
They mad at the people flipping burgers.
Oh, but they mad at people flipping burgers.
Hot dogs.
Okay, and the last one. What I got with
the Bears.
Bears, just clean house.
Again?
Yeah, it's time. Listen, they got too many pieces that don't match up together. The quarterback's probably not going to be there after this year. They need to clean house and reset this thing all over again.
All right, it's outstandingly well done, and it's appropriate because they may very well fire everybody if they lose again tonight. So for firewood, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. And look, the Bears, I went off on it yesterday. I won't repeat all the things I said. They are a team that made a bunch of changes and definitively got worse. So here's the question. Before we dive into anything else, let's talk about the quarterback because he's at the middle of all of this. And I'm told you have some tape.
Yeah.
Justin Fields in action tonight.
Yeah, first of all, Justin has to be playing for every other organization in the NFL. You lose tonight, you're already looking to 2024. So that's got to be the mindset. But how they helped Justin play at such a high level has got to be the focus point when it comes to Luke Getsy and the offense tonight. Number one, full progression reads. What that means is we don't really care about the coverage if you're a quarterback. We're going from number one to number two to number three, number four. Is he open? If so, we're going to cut it loose. And that's something that helps often many quarterbacks, specifically one. Justin's dropping back like number one's not open. There's a post there, safety in middle of the field. Great, I'm moving on to number two. Number two, he's got a guy, but there's space. It's essentially man versus man. I now get to try to make the best throw possible. So the more that they can do that with downfield passing, number two, cut the field in half. You take a left side of the field. If you get a certain coverage, we're going to work there. You take the right side of the field. If we get a certain coverage, you're going to work there. Justin's going to drop back. He's going to see that safety drift towards the middle of the field. Now he gets to pick which side am I going to work He sees that safety go. I'm going to take the tight end up top in the seam, float it over the linebacker. That's 1 to 2 to 3. Again, very quickly forcing the mind to work. And then the last things would be this, getting him outside the pocket. I talked about that a ton, the boots and the keeps. There was only one designed quarterback run. There should be a minimum of 5 tonight. You can use that athleticism not as a safety valve, but as a threat to the defense.
I love those tapes, and that one is another outstanding example. And what we have to find out, and I don't know that we will find this out immediately, is whether Justin Fields is a victim of his circumstances. No one is absolving him of all blame.
Wait, we don't know if he is or not?
Well, let me say this. We don't
know if that's the reason number why.
We don't know. There's no. Okay, so let me rephrase it then. He's unquestionably a victim of his circumstances.
Got it. Okay.
How much has he contributed to that himself,
oh,
I guess, is what we
has.
Don't know.
Of course he has. You can't hold the ball in the pocket forever. You can't stare down people. You have to be decisive. You have, like, and the fact that you saw it work last year, right? You saw glimpses and you said, okay, they're on an upward trajectory. Unfortunately, though, when your quarterback says, I got to play free, like I got to play it, my style of football, obviously something isn't working. And I think, unfortunately for Justin, I was worried about this situation for him because it's not a stable organization. I think the Bears front office has to understand that they need to shift philosophy going forward. You cannot have a defensive-minded coach who thinks that you're just going to play physical, run the football with this kind of quarterback. Like, you need to have somebody who's an offensive mind who is going to build this around the quarterback and make sure that his development is key. Drafting Justin Fields was about the next 10 years, not just the first season and the next season after that.
You know why it doesn't work? Because their defense stinks. You can't play that style. You can't play that style of football when your defense is a sieve. Like, yeah. You just can't do it. Like when you know your defense is bad, your offense literally has to cut it loose. You
right.
gotta play that style.
Look at the moves they've made. That's also part of it. Look at some of the trades they've made.
Guys, that's the biggest indictment on Matt Eberflus. You're a defensive-minded head coach. Your defense is awful. You can't be awful on the side of the ball that's supposed to be your specialty.
They've lost 14 consecutive games and allowed at least 25 points in all of them. You can't. There's no excuse for that.
They've lost 14 straight.
Yeah, they haven't won since last October. It's now next
October.
Well, let me bring this up. Where do you live?
Atlanta, Georgia.
What team did you play for down there?
Hello?
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, how would they look right now if Justin Fields was their quarterback? Not next year, right now.
They will be better, but I will tell you this. That offense is not, you're not just going to learn that offense like that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
He's going to put him and Bijan Robinson in the same backfield, and what's going to happen?
But they're going to be amazing.
Okay.
You're figuring it out.
Right? Figure out the rest of it. If the Bears lose tonight, it's over. I mean, maybe they fire everybody.
I also like New England trying to go get Justin Fields. The New England Patriots.
They had an opportunity. Yeah. They took Mac. They could have moved up a little bit to get Justin.
Yeah, I mean, those guys went in the same
because
draft,
when you don't have the skill position players. If you're New England,
sure.
Okay, give me a guy at the quarterback position that can make a splash, make something out of nothing.
I think it's unlikely that Justin Fields gets traded this year. But Justin's focus has to be 31 other teams. Because if they lose tonight, that organization is going to start to pivot to 2024. And is it Caleb Williams or Drake May? So the focus for Justin has to be making yourself as appealing to some other organization as possible.
Yeah, they could be more efficient if they draft both because they have the two first-round picks.
Greeny.
Take Williams.
Don't do the Dominic Fox.
And Drake May. Just do it. That way you can ruin two quarterbacks in 3 years instead of it taking you 6 years to have to do it. Okay,
as we
continue here in just a moment, it's Wilson versus Wilson. A mile high, with the stakes even higher. Will it be Zach or Russ who turns last weekend into the beginning of something? And we also have this sneaky hembo for Harry. Here we go. Which team has the best record against your Atlanta Braves, Harry, in the postseason all time? Sneaky hembo, the answer is next. Time for your wake-up call. Carl Ravitch in Philadelphia. Take it away.
Boehm, Harper, Castellanos, the base runners. Infielders in at the corners. And Stott drives one to right. That's deep. That is gone. A grand slam for Stott. The brink just broke. thanks to Bryson Stott's base-clearing granny.
All right, you're right, Harry. You're feeling good because your Braves are taking on those red-hot Philadelphia Phillies. All kinds of pressure on you. How you feeling?
I'm excited. The only thing I'm worried about is the pitching. When you look at Philly, they have Zach Wheeler, also Aaron Nola. Right now, Max Fried and also Charlie Morton a little banged up.
I see you, Harry.
You take a passing job. Okay.
All right, here we go. Harold, so here's today's trivia question. It's baseball for you because you're a Braves fan.
Yep.
Which team has the best record against the Braves in the postseason all time?
I'm going to go the Yankees, Greeny.
You're going to go the Yankees, Greeny. The answer is the Phillies.
What?
It is the team.
Oh! Oh!
It is the team.
Wow!
Thanks.
Wow!
Embo, come out here and dance.
Wow!
Embo and dance.
Wow!
You ready? Go ahead and dance on him.
No! Not Embo! Not Embo!
Oh!
Whoa.
Oh, it says best record.
Best record?
But,
what did you think it said?
Hold on. But the Yankees beat the Braves how many times in the postseason?
I don't know. And not enough, obviously.
Wow.
There is the answer.
The Braves had, like, Tom Leesville.
He smoked you.
He did.
Wow.
Greg Maddux.
What is it?
Hembo did a bat flip. He pimped the home run. He did all that all over
you. You know what? And I just looked at them, and I was like,
that was a win.
Is it the Phillies? Are you trying to play a trick on me?
And we'll
that was well
dance.
Done.
Wow.
All right. So that was one grudge match. Let's talk about another. This one in the NFL. Broncos-Jets this weekend. Mm-hmm. You remember all the stuff Sean Payton said about Nathaniel Hackett. Robert Saleh asked about it yesterday.
I said it before. In football terms, that was 15 years ago. We're just going out to play a football game. And the reality is coaches aren't the ones who play. It's the players. And it's our job to put them in the best position possible to be successful.
All right, let me talk to my players here at the desk. He says the stuff that Sean Payton said in football terms, that's forever ago. It doesn't matter at all. Is he telling the truth?
Hell no.
He not,
like, they've been sitting on this one the whole time. Yeah, man. Listen, when you say stuff like that, the way that Sean Payton talked about Nathaniel Hackett.
He had
They're going to bring. Let me tell you something. They're going to bring all the smoke to Denver this weekend. I can promise you that.
That's why I hope that Zach Wilson has a good game. Because if he ends up – because they do care about those comments. Like, back when he said those things in training camp, people were texting me like, oh, okay, he was way out of line. But we will see them very soon. They have not forgotten. And I hope Aaron Rodgers is texting Nathaniel Hackett, like, you better drop 100 on these dudes. Like, I really do. Because I think players end up, tell me if I'm wrong, I think players end up, they pick on anything. They will hold on to anything for that added juice. And this game has it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't need anything extra for juice,
wow,
to your point here. I mean, this is legitimate bulletin board material. For those of you who don't remember, Sean Payton basically suggested that last year's coaching job in Denver, which was done by Nathaniel Hackett, was among the worst in NFL history.
Yes.
So he definitively drew first blood, if you will. How do you respond if you're the other team?
I want to score 100. You know, I would, if I was Robert Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett and Jeff Obrich, the defensive coordinator, I'd be like, yo, we're going to score 100. We're not going to get – it's almost like Remember the Titans. Like, you draw that line and they don't cross that. And you make sure that they walk out of that game and remember. They're elite competitors. Everyone in the NFL is an elite competitor. They don't forget. They don't forget. We remember stuff that people said about us 25 years ago. My dream school was to go to Boston College. They came down to the high school and said, you're good, but you're not good enough. We're not going to offer you a scholarship. I still remember that. So this is that times 1,000 where, you know, they basically clowned what Nathaniel Hackett did last year. He doesn't forget about that. And obviously his players are going to want to go kind of put up for their coach.
So how does that impact the game? I mean, does it make – I understand that it makes you fired up. Does it make you play better? Does it – can it backfire? Once the game is actually kicked off, does it have any impact on who wins?
The New York Jets need to remember, keep the main thing the main thing. Mm. That's how we start our radio show off
on
Friday
at
3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Right.
The main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. But because I believe if you try to focus too much on what Sean Payton said in those comments, you can probably get away from the game plan and what you need to do across the board as a team. Let's not forget now, this New York Jets football team, they're fighting for their season.
Yes.
So you can't afford to lose this football game. The personal stuff, I understand it, it's all good. And if the opportunity presents itself when you can hang points up, you do it. But you got to remember, let the main thing be the main thing.
Okay, Zach Wilson can focus on keep the main thing the main thing. That defense.
It sounds good until you're 1-4 and your season's done.
No, but to her point, I agree with you. But to your point, the defense can go out there and send
everybody else but Zach. Everybody else but Zach. You got to bring the smoke. Like, that smoke got to travel from here to Denver. That's just automatic. But Zach Wilson,
you got to bring the smoke every damn game. What are we talking about? But it's the National Football League.
That's fair, but not every weekend you do, right? This is a game where the defense got to travel. The defense has to travel.
Greeny, I will say this. Once the balls kick off, you're not thinking about comments. You're just going out there and playing. But I'm just saying, these guys have not forgotten about what Sean Payton said.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, behind the scenes, they're going to be talking about
it
all week long.
It's up to the game.
Right.
It's an up to the game thing. To Wood's point, once the game is kicked off, you got to control your emotion here. He's spot on and focus on doing your job to the best of your ability. And if it comes to a point where we're up 14 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter,
it
becomes like, hey, just remember what they said.
I mean, the most important numbers the things on your screen are the numbers next to the teams, right? The Jets are 1-3. The Broncos are 1-3. Mm-hmm. These are teams that, whether the rest of the world believes it or not, believe that their seasons are on the line. I mean, some people may think, well, the Broncos have no chance anyway. Jets have no chance anyway. They don't think that.
Of course.
This game is massively
way more important for the
Jets.
Way, 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 way more important for the Jets
because
than the Broncos. Because the Broncos' defense doesn't look anything remotely close to a playoff football team.
Yep. And
Jets look like a playoff football team. They lost by 3 to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the defending Super Champions. So it's way more important for them to keep their playoff hopes alive than the Broncos to.
And what did we talk about yesterday? There's a person missing from our table, the Aaron Rodgers jersey.
Oh.
There is that little hope dangling, that carrot at the end of the season. If they can keep this ship steady,
right?
Greeny's dreams of potentially seeing Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'll do it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What should I do?
I'll do it.
What should I do?
You know what?
I'll get it.
You know what? See?
I'll get it. You want it?
See?
You got it. You want it? I got Aaron over here. Danny, Aaron Rodgers is talking about coming back and playing this year.
I heard.
If the Jets are 500 when we get to Thanksgiving, call it early December.
Yes.
Is Aaron coming back?
Oh, reinforcements.
Brandon, I'm not a doctor, so I have no idea if he's going to be capable of it. I'm not betting against him.
Brandon.
But it's that's certainly like the ideal situation if you're the New York Jets. And I think that they're capable of it, and I think that's what's partly motivating Aaron as well, is he thinks, truthfully, that if they get Zach to play to that certain way, that they can still be in it when it matters the most.
Talk to the jersey. Everyone address your comments at this point to the Aaron Rodgers jersey. So what are you telling – if the Jets win this week,
you'd be a grown man.
Yeah. Let this man live.
Is there a possibility that Rodgers comes back and plays this season?
I'll be honest with you.
Talk to the jersey. We're talking to the jersey.
I'm not talking to a jersey.
Okay.
I'm looking at you.
Okay, yeah.
Brandon, what are you doing, man?
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, you believe
it? I believe it when I see it.
What do you think, D-Wood?
I'm not putting anything past Aaron Rodgers. Like, if the Jets by Thanksgiving on, if they're playing 500 football, I think he'll make it back, to be honest with you.
Tom Brady, his first year in Tampa, they were basically a 500 team around Thanksgiving. They caught fire. They got hot. They went, made on a run. They never lost again, and they won the Super Bowl. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers is thinking about. Brady has been the blueprint. Brady going to Tampa has been the blueprint. That's basically 3 months removed from an Achilles. I understand that. I understand it's never happened before. But did you hear what Aaron said on McAfee the other day? The impossible is just something that hasn't been done yet.
I mean, the human body has to play a part in the conversation.
Tell that to the jersey.
I got a 0.67 GPA in college. So, the intelligence of it, I'm not the person to ask, Greeny.
I see why Boston College was like, nah.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
I went FFFB. But it all comes – that's why the game matters the most for the New York Jets, and that's why it's the biggest game of his career, Zach Wilson, because if you could do it again, then there's reality.
What did you get a B in?
Agricultural Resource Economics.
So your backup was to be a farmer?
There was no backup. My academic counselor is like, what's your plan B? And I was like, we ain't have one.
Jets going to win this week. Are they going to win? The Jets are going to win this week.
I got the Jets.
Jets?
Yes.
Jets. We're good.
Brandon, have some self-respect and stop standing there with that Frank freaking jersey.
We will be addressing all comments for the rest of the program to the jersey. Okay? Show some respect for the number 8. All right. Baseball. We showed you the Phillies advancing to the NLDS. We actually had nothing but sweeps in this early round. I'll show you the rest of the games from yesterday. Diamondbacks overcame a 2-run deficit. They beat the Brewers 5-2. It's Arizona's first multi-game series win since the NLDS in 2007. They will go on to take on the Dodgers in the next round. Rangers steamrolled the Rays. Only friends and family in attendance in Tampa for these two games, and they didn't miss much. The Rays were outscored 11-1 in two games. So now it's Texas going on to take on Baltimore in the American League.
Great job by Eovaldi this year for the Rangers. Been phenomenal.
Thank you for that. In Minnesota, the Twins shut out the Blue Jays to capture their first postseason series since 2002. They'll take on the defending champion Astros in the division series. So the baseball continues hot and heavy as we continue hot and heavy. We've talked a lot about Dak and the Dallas offense. Is the Cowboys defense ready for the Niners' high-powered O? We'll talk about that game. Plus, our most dangerous segment of the week is on the way. The big man, Damian Woody, smashing the tiny helmets. He is ready to go. Don't miss it as we will continue. That's outstanding. And at all times, once again, if you don't talk about baseball, I don't care. Just address it to the jersey. We'll talk about it. We are back on Get Up. Our next stop is San Francisco. Dallas getting ready to head out there to face their equivalent of kryptonite in the 49ers. And after seeing the team's Super Bowl hopes come to an end against the Niners the last 2 years, jeez, Micah Parsons was talking about being locked in.
I feel like they play us harder than anybody. And, I definitely feel like it's going to be one of them games. I've been tapped into my mode all week. I feel great, you know. I'm ready to kind of get after it now. It's one of the biggest stages. You know, Cowboys 49ers is nothing better.
It feels like, to this point, the biggest game of the NFL season. And we have spent so much time this week and this morning talking about Dak and the Cowboys' offense. Let's go to the other side. What is the single most important factor for the Cowboys' defense and Micah Parsons going up against San Francisco?
You have to handle how much San Francisco spreads you out after the snap. There's 53 and a third yards from sideline to sideline. San Francisco uses every single inch of it, better than anybody in the NFL. And that's what I think is a little bit different about this offense with Brock Purdy in comparison to Jimmy Garoppolo. It was very much so they worked the middle of the field on a consistent basis, and they still do that, but it is so spread out nowadays. Brandon Ayuk has become unquestionably a number one wide receiver. McCaffrey's absolutely off the charts. And the ability for them to be explosive down the field because of Ayuk is a game changer for their offense. So it's going to be worked underneath, absolutely, Kittle and McCaffrey. But Brandon Ayuk's ability to become explosive down the field and outside because of the space that's created, that's going to be the biggest challenge. Other than, you know, Kyle's going to run right at Micah. He's going to take Micah Parsons and go, I'm not going to let you rush the passer. You got to handle that.
So, look, we don't have any defensive players on the panel today, but Kmart brought up an interesting question earlier. When you're going up against San Francisco, who are you stopping? They have so many different places. You're sort of picking your poison. But we know the defenses tend to go into a game saying, all right, no matter what happens, that guy's not beating us. Who is that guy if you're Dallas right now? Who you're not letting beat you?
I don't think it's about you just picking one guy. I think the first thing for Dallas is that you have to contain the run game.
Yeah.
Because everything that's
that McCaffrey?
Built off of that.
Generally speaking, that's McCaffrey, yes?
It's Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
It's the coach.
Because the run game sets up everything else that San Francisco wants to do from an offensive standpoint. But then now, after that run game, it's about tackling in space. Now you got to tackle in space. We know Kyle Shanahan is going to get his playmakers the football. But then next after that, you got to be able to understand the eye candy that they're going to give you before the ball is even snapped if you're Dallas's defense. Because they're going to shift. They're going to motion. And then last but not least I have for this defense is that you got to make Brock Purdy uncomfortable. And that's easier said than done. That's one of the things I thought in the last few years, or last year exactly, that this Dallas defense could have did a better job is making Brock uncomfortable.
49ers is going to test the Dallas Cowboys defensively.
Manhood.
Exactly. We saw what the Arizona Cardinals did to that Dallas defense, rushing for over 200 yards. That's why I bring it back to physicality. In this game, like, all the different weapons and stuff, you know how you neutralize that? By whipping the man across the end of the line of scrimmage. You do that, that's how you beat
because
that 49ers
the
offense.
The 49ers is even their offensive players, they like to be physical. Even on offense.
Yeah.
So their defense, they want to knock you around. They want to throw you down. And Dallas has to match that. And they have to match that intensity. And they're playing on the road. That's the other thing.
Final word.
This is a game where Dallas can very much so miss Trayvon Diggs. Unfortunately, because you got to have four or five guys that can flat out cover. And he was one of them. So that's a big deal. The second thing is you're going to hear a ton Sunday night from Chris Collinsworth. 21 personnel. Two backs, one tight end. San Francisco basically lines up in that, and then it's bombs away with what it's going to look like. They don't get into it to run the football. They get into it to figure out the matchup that they want, and then they attack it. That's going to be a huge challenge, is how Dallas defensively, even before the snap, lines up to that.
We're not just going to tell you who we think is going to win that game. We're going to show you. Let's smash the helmets.
Yes!
Welcome to the most dangerous segment. Big man, tiny helmet. Get the goggles ready. That went right by my face.
Things just got real.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn to the side.
Graziano's got a lot of potential. Holy smoke.
There's no coming back from that. I think that might be my best.
All right, we have had historically some injuries on this segment, so we've all got the protective eyewear. And last week, we desperately missed the big fella as he was being honored at his high school. And so we all smashed the helmets, and we did it terribly. So now it is your turn to do it extraordinarily well. Let's start with the game we've been talking about all morning long, Cowboys and 49ers. Again, for those of you who are new to the program, you're going to smash the helmet of the team that's going to lose. Oh my! Wow!
That's how it's done.
I think it eviscerated.
It disintegrated on contact. That's how it's done right there.
They don't call them big wood for nothing.
Well, listen, Green, we talked about all the different matchups, right? We talked about, you know, yards after catch, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, you know, Dak Prescott. And I think, honestly, it's going to come down to Dak Prescott. Can Dak Prescott go blow for blow with the 49ers? If he can do that, they will win.
Put the picks up on the screen there. Anybody like Dallas? Anybody like Dallas? Oh, nobody likes Dallas. Take the money and run. That means that the Cowboys are unquestionably going to win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because anytime we all think something is going to happen, it never does. Okay, our next game is tonight. Thursday Night Football. Bears, Commanders. Could be a fire everybody game in Chicago if it's going to go sideways. This is the game?
Where? It's at Commanders.
It's in Washington. All right, here we go. Smash the helmet of the loser.
Oh, my.
Oh! That one imploded.
Yes, it did.
It imploded.
It did.
The other one exploded.
Yes, it did.
This one imploded.
It did. It did implode. Listen, we know. Listen, the Chicago Bears as an organization are in disarray right now. Their defense can't stop a nosebleed. The quarterback, although he played better last week, still had crucial turnovers. I like Sam Howell and the Washington Commanders.
I'm
bringing the pain.
It literally just imploded upon itself. Let's see the picks here, everybody.
Oh, no.
Oh wow. Another one.
Two for two.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Chicago.
Even I can't argue against this one. I mean, this feels like you're stealing money. All right, one more. Here we go. This is the battle, a mile high. The battle of the Wilsons.
Yep.
Russell against Zach.
Yep.
Jets and Broncos, revenge on the
Hopkins
line. Smash the helmet of the loser.
Oh! Yes. 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 Yes.
This might be your best helmet.
It's up there. Yeah. It really is up there. Yes, it is. Has anyone seen the Denver Broncos defense?
Yeah.
Some quarterbacks have.
They're pretty bad, okay? Biggest question? Which Zach Wilson are we going to see this week?
Yeah. Well, that's what you were saying, right? So, all the golfers out there know what we're talking about. You make a birdie, the next hole, sometimes things don't go the way you want.
That's the challenge, is can he follow up the best game of his career with another best game of his career. It's the biggest game of his career, because if Zach Wilson does that, then all of a sudden it's, all right, the conversation, can you stay playoff contender, becomes very real. You got the chance to get to 2-3, and now it's, okay, the Jets are back in it, and maybe they've solved the quarterback situation.
I don't like what I'm about to show you. Everybody here.
Okay.
Wow,
a three. That's a bad omen.
Somebody switch.
I don't like that.
Did you switch up the mallet? I mean, this is lighter than last week.
Let me see you do it, Kmart. Let me see you one time.
Let's see.
Oh, my
God.
Good Lord.
Better?
It was very good. It was very good. It was way better than I ever did it. All right, so that is well done. Kmart, well done. All right, what do we have coming up this morning here? Oh, what a lineup we have headed your way. Saturday at noon on ABC. We got Oklahoma, Texas. Right, monster game, right?
Yeah, you see Marcus's daughter committed to Texas as well?
Yes, yeah. Volleyball.
But that congratulations, Swaggoo.
WNBA Finals Sunday, Monday Night Football, a great one. The Packers and the Raiders, the Devontae revenge game, and then the hockey season starts on Tuesday. Great lineup coming your way from the family of networks. Meanwhile, First Take next. What does a Sunday loss mean for the Cowboys? Are the Bills the best team in the AFC? Molly, Stephen A., Kmart, Orlovsky, and D. Wood will be on First Take. And then Nick Saban and C.J. Stroud will both be on McAfee Today, who comes your way live noon Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and YouTube. We got some cleaning up to do in the studio. Back in a moment on ESPN.
Done.
Even after all these years, I still get excited for that first game. We had a long off season, so it's been a while since I played a game. Looking forward to that, obviously playing against you.
Connor Bedard.
The expectations are high, you know that. How are you feeling about your first game?
Super excited. It's a childhood dream, of course. Growing up and being a big fan, pretty cool to face off against you.
It's an opening night triple header, Tuesday on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
Take it easy on us?
Yeah, we'll see.
The best month in sports is upon us. We're headed over to ESPN Radio, coast to coast in 60 seconds. And the fun continues here with First Take now.